Blog Talk Radio.
God bless anything that's in the name of Jesus Christ. No, I'm not the man on the school. No, Mr. B, I'm the known for Jesus Christ. Lift them high. I'm not here for Christ. Cross the place. Cross the place. No, no, no.
This song right here, dedicated to all my people that felt like giving up. You didn't think he was going to hurt you.
God, not just mine, but our God is an awesome God. He reigns. Hey, welcome to the Word at Noon. I am Louis Beasley, Apostle of Jesus Christ, called by the will of God to all the saints and faithful in Christ Jesus. We're truly happy to have each and every one of you guys. I just thank God for you. I mean, you could have been spending your time doing something else. but you chose to come and worship with us. And I'm excited about it. This is a worship thing. It's a worship hour, and we might even get into that this week. The different ways you can worship, and in spirit and in truth. That's what God chooses of. That's what he wants. He wants us to worship in spirit and in truth. And we're going to probably get into a little of that this week because we're so blessed and understanding worship and that type of thing. I noticed Sister Evangelist Laura, she's on here. I'm going to see if this can wait to after prayer, but if, well, I think that's what I'll do. We'll go ahead on and have prayer, and then we'll ask, then we'll come back to you, Sister Laura. So just hang on there for a second. Pastor Bill, would you give us a word of prayer?
God bless everyone, and good afternoon. The scripture I'd like to share is coming from 1 Peter, the 3rd, chapter 1, and verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope of resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Amen. Heavenly Father, as we come before you in the name of Jesus, we're thanking you, Father God, for another day. We thank you, Father God, for the listeners, those that call me by internet, Father God. Lord, we're thanking you for those who will participate today. Lord, we ask that you will bless each and every one in a mighty way. We bind up anything and everything to try to come up against our pastor, any of those that are on this broadcast and those who are listening by internet. Father God, we're praying for those that are sick and shut in, praying for those who are bereaved and those who are going through. Lord, we just give you thanks, Father God, because we know you're a way maker out of no way. We know you are a healer, Father God, and we know that we can put our trust in you. We ask that you will bless our pastor as he gets ready to be led by the Holy Spirit to teach the word and help us to receive it, Father God. We ask it all in Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you so much, Pastor, amen, for that prayer. Hallelujah.
More. Because what you're ready to come up against in life, you don't want to have to regret. You got to come back, trying to come back a little bit. And the hardship, how you going to beat yourself up with shoulda, coulda, woulda?
You have to ignore
it. So right,
hold on, wait, they calling me. I'm going to say, hold on, how they know I was on the line? What they wrong?
Okay.
Hold on one second.
One, I didn't know if you wanted to say something or you had something to share or you had pressed one.
Oh, I guess it's just must be meant for me to share this message with everyone then. On Sunday, our pastor preached a message on freedom, and he was reminding us of the freedom and the liberty we have through Jesus Christ and the authority and power we have to speak our way through things and to think our way through things and to remember three things about God is that he cares about us, that he hears our prayers, but a prayer and a cry are two different things. A prayer is communication with God, but a cry is desperate to cook that word to God, to request things from him, and also that God has a plan for you, and even no matter what the situation is that you're in, he has a plan to get you out of that situation as well. So that was a personal revelation to me towards the situations I'm facing as well. But just remembering, more importantly, that we have the authority and the power to speak our freedom, to speak dominion over those things that try to keep us bound, and every yoke that tries to keep us shackled and chained, that we have the authority to release those things and let them go and be set free. So we just have to move in that mindset that we have authority over this, and today is the day that we just cancel everything and walk fully in that freedom.
Well, thank you so much for sharing that. Hallelujah. We truly appreciate it.
Anybody else have anything else they want to
share today? Hallelujah. Okay. If not, hey, thank you so much, Sister Laura. I appreciate the word shared. Talked about being blessed. Something brought it to my attention that I had left off on talking about worship. And someone reminded me we had left off there and we never did that. So I thought I would just take it up and kind of table what we've been talking about as far as blessed is concerned, because you are blessed. The blessing. You have to activate your faith in your blessing. God has given us everything pertaining to godliness. You have a need of anything. And please believe this. All you have to do is receive what God has already given you. I'm talking to everyone. As many as receive him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God. So when we learn how to receive things, then once you become a recipient by receiving what God has already did, he's not going to change his mind. He wants us to get into the place of receiving. He'll bless you, accept the blessing. See, once you accept the blessing that he's given, we begin to walk in faith, and we become blessed, if that makes sense. Well, there's several ways you can look at it. One way is the fact that you got a blessed word in you. You're blessed. The word is in you.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Anyone that's truly been born again, I want to go through all the steps, but I'm going to read. William, if you read Romans 9:10, you got to know the word is living in you. You got to know that you're to abide in the word and the word abide in you. You have to know that. So when the word is living in you, that's God living in you. So you can pick the scripture you want to live in you. You can pick the scripture you want to give life to and give your activate your faith to. It's all on you, but God is living in you. And in Romans 10, verses 9 and verses 10, read that for me, Sister William.
One moment. Romans 10, verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation.
Amen.
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 Amen. Reading from the Message Bible. They actually start with 4, so give me a minute. And it's a lot right in here. The word that saves is right here. As near as the tongue in your mouth, as close as the heart in your chest. It's the word of faith that welcomes God to go to work and set things right for us. This is the core of our preaching. Say the welcoming word to God. Jesus is my master, embracing body and soul. God works of doing in us what he did in raising Jesus from the dead. That's it. You're not doing anything. You're simply calling out to God, trusting him to do it for you. That's salvation. With your whole being, you embrace God, setting things right, and then you say it right out loud. God has set everything right between him and me. Amen.
In that 11th verse, it promises by saying, whosoever believes in him shall not be ashamed. So you see, recognizing that the Lordship of Jesus Christ is the condition on which we receive eternal life. And brothers and sisters, I'm going to be honest with you. This life is about your eternal.
Yes, it is.
It's not a creation of intelligence, but it's the human spirit. So when he says, believe in thine heart, he's talking about in your spirit. He means that our spirit acts upon the word of God. And I said that because as many as receive him, he's talking about your spirit, man, not how intelligent you are or not. You know, not how smart you are. He's talking about you receiving it in your spirit, man, beyond your head knowledge.
Yeah, yeah.
Man, believe it that Jesus is his righteousness. You have to believe that Jesus is your righteousness. And then make a confession of his lordship of Jesus Christ in your life. Okay? Lordship really means the bread that provides. In other words, he becomes your substance, your protector.
Yeah.
He cares for you. And he's going to take over your spiritual life. So that's what you're giving over to his lordship, okay? He's going to be your very provider. So Jesus assured the responsibility of the caretaker over there in Matthew 6:25. Get a chance to this is a long quote in the full, but Jesus gave his third eye view of the Father attitude toward his own suit. He said, this is written, the new creation, the Jews could not understand it. Notice, be not anxious for your life, but ye shall eat for what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Matthew 6:25. He illustrated here, for the third says, are ye not much more valuable? I'll read this story because the point I want to make is you have to believe it. You have to act on this stuff. The word is living in us. And the moment you allow your faith to activate the word of God in you, then you know you deliver.
Yeah.
Amen. 1 and 13. I'm going to show you this
word. Can you tell me that again?
Huh?
I didn't get that, Pastor.
Colossians 1 and 13.
Okay. One moment. Uh, Colossians 1 and 13, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son.
Amen. From the Message Bible, God rescues us from dead end alleys and dark dungeons. He set us up in the kingdom of his Son he loves so much. Amen.
This all comes by believing. You have to believe your deliverance. You have to believe. You don't feel this. Stop trying to feel it. Everybody want to get into this feel-good religion, feel-good word. No, you don't feel this stuff, man. You know this stuff. The people are going to perish for the lack of knowledge, not for the lack of feeling good. Anyway, you're going to get that eternal life because of knowledge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He was in the world, and the world was made by him. You have to know that's Jesus, man. That's knowledge. But yet the Bible says the world knew him not. The world didn't even know it. Don't have that knowledge. But they didn't feel it. They didn't see it through the optical nerve. The Bible said he came to his own, and his own received him not. But now here's a verse I want you to know about. It's the 12th book.
Yeah.
St. John 1, verse 12. St. John 1, chapter 1, verses 12. How that reads?
One moment, please. John 1:12. But as many as received him, to them given he power to become the Son of God, even to them that believe on his name.
Amen.
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 From the Message Bible, but whoever did want him, who believed he was who he claimed and would do what he said, he made to be their true selves, their child of God selves. Amen, amen.
So as many as receive him.
Yeah.
Received him. How you know you're just not admiring the Lord? You know, a lot of people are religious. They like the idea that, man, I'm serving God. They like the idea that somebody told them, yeah, you look saved. Yeah, you did everything required. Brothers and sisters, you need to know.
Amen.
Receive him. Now, here's a good way of knowing this, because you receive his word. You abide in the word, and the word abide in you, so that means you'll receive it. You ain't trying to fight. You ain't arguing. You ain't trying to debate it. You're receiving him, the word, and he give it to you.
Yeah,
that's
amen.
What we're going to go to this week, because you got to know God and spirit. And truth. Well, I got to pray about it. About this. If you know it's true and it's the word of God, what you have to do is learn to receive it.
Yeah.
To them he gave the power to become the sons of God. Even them that believe on his name. So you have to receive it. Receive the scripture God gives it to you. Don't be trying to debate it. Well, and I'll share this with you, too. It ain't for everybody, because that 13th verse says, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Born again, truly, they're born not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed. And I'll I have them to read that. Everybody over in, well, first of all, in 1 John 5:18, I want you to find that scripture. Because, see, everybody ain't born again, and God keeps telling me that. And I didn't want to accept it. And he said, yeah, oh, because they preaching. There's a lot of people that born again. Word of God. You don't have to be born again with the word of God. You don't have to. But you got to be born again to have eternal life. You got to be born again to know him. Yeah. That's how you get these phony prophets. People like to tickle people's ears. Sound good. And they sound with it. But if you found 1 John 5:18, read that for me.
Yes, 1 John 5:18. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Send the message, Bible. Excuse me. We know that none of the God begotten makes a practice of sin, fatal sin. The God begotten also are God protected. The evil one can't lay a hand on them. We know that we are held firm by God. Amen.
And then 1 Peter 1:23. This is important.
Pardon me?
Hello?
Yes. Do you want me to read 1 Peter 1:23?
Read that.
Yes. 1 Peter 1:23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever.
Amen. From the Message Bible. Now that you've cleaned up your lives by following the truth, love one, anyone, as if your life depends on it, your new life is not like your old life. Your old birth came from mortal sperm. Your new birth comes from God's living word. Amen.
Amen.
Anything that's going to decay is corruptible. The incorruptible will never decay. And I want to respectfully say this in the terms that as an honorable, it will last incorruptible. A lot of things come to mind, but here's what really come to mind. When I think about corruptible is something that has been tainted.
Mm-hmm. All right.
So when I think about incorruptible, I think of something that has not been tainted with. Now why is that so important? Because that's the part you want to get born again with, is the incorruptible, which is the word of God. Is there a few things, let me say this, very few things is incorruptible. Very few things that have not been tainted. Even people, they put on a jar and they'll say pure honey. Now, because they said it doesn't make it pure, because pure honey is in the comb, and it doesn't be contaminated. And a lot of times we contaminate things. That's why it's important to know how important this word is. That's why I said the definition about this word, corruptible.
Yeah.
Because you have a lot of things that we think is not corruptible, but it is corruptible, man. It is. I saw this jar said pure honey. You're going like, well, wait a minute. How can it be pure when somebody took it and they expose it to a lot of things? See, corruptible is changing from a good to a bad in a moral sense. That's what corruptible is, to be degraded with unsound principles. When I think about corruptible, I'm thinking about something that causes some. See, let me tell you what. We were pure at first before we sinned. And we didn't sin as much as the fact that it was passed down and we inherited it. But listen, the seed, so everybody after Adam had became corruptible, man. I don't want to use some of these words, but I will. Because when you think of corruptible, you have to think of dirty, crooked, you know, dishonest, evil. There's a lot of people immoral. You know, there's a lot of things wicked. New birth doesn't have this stuff in it. Doesn't have that. And it has faith in it. It's not corrupt. So you do have money. Just the opposite of corrupt. Incorrupt. You have values in terms of right, good stuff, good morals, good ethics. You know, you have a lot of good stuff when it becomes incorruptible. That's what you're born of. Because you're blessed. You were born of the incorruptible stuff, man, when you got born again. That's why you don't act like the world acts. Those are not the principles where you live from. But I got a lot of good stuff to say this week. We'll get into it, hopefully, on tomorrow. We just wanted to see what evangelist ever want to be labeled as ignoring people. But sometimes I do put things in the right priority. I feel, unless it's an emergency, and I tell anybody, if it's an emergency, don't call me, don't call you. You might call 911 or God. Those are the two that you want to call. So I don't feel like that it was necessary, but I felt like we have to listen to everybody. So anytime anybody have anything to say, I want you to know that it will. We don't got to have prayer, but I just do all through prayer anyway. But you don't have to. God is in us listening. We don't have to always pray for things or about things. But hey, this week we're going to talk about the seven ways to worship in spirit and in truth. I think you all are, especially if you held on to what we talked about last week, because, you know, I know, and I probably said again, But sometimes you want to know, well, what worship is, and how can you worship God daily, and how can you worship God at home, and how can you worship God in the car? How can you worship? Well, we're going to answer a lot of those questions, but I promise you, when we get through, you'll see people didn't worship God in just buildings, man. And if that's the way you think, well, hopefully this will change some things that change your mind. Stop trying to limit it, God, because God is a spirit, and he seeks us to worship him in spirit and in truth, and we'll get to that. What does worship in truth mean? We're going to talk about that. Why prepare for worship, and why is that so important? And like I said, ways to express worship. We may talk about, because one time we did talk about the Hebrew word and the Greek word, what worship means. We talked about a lot of them, Yahdeh, Yanda, Todai, Shabbat, Kedah. So we're going to talk about what these worship mean, some of these, how you express worship. A lot of people to speak to you. We want to talk about that because a lot of times we don't allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us. So we're going to get into those things this week. Hopefully by the time we finish with all of this, we'll be gotten understanding, and I don't see the person talking to me about it that on today, but hey, we still going through with it. So hey, anybody have anything they want to share about anything, press one. Anything you want to share, I know it. Anything you've been through, you want to comment on. Hallelujah.
Amen, Pastor. I just wanted to read from Romans, the 8th chapter. You had quoted this scripture. So Romans 8th chapter and verse 14, it says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." And then reading that verse from the New Living Translation, it says, "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God." Amen. So the lesson coming up that you're getting ready to teach on, it just brings that right out. Amen. And we have to be led by his. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. I don't know. Did you get a chance to read that in St. John 1 and verse, Pastor?
Yes, she did bring it out. Yeah. Okay. Yes, we did. I'll read it again, and then I can read it with the New Living.
I just want to Sister William, you read that, right, from the King James?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right. I don't know why I thought I didn't read that, but okay.
Yes, it says, "But as many as receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." From the New Living, "So the word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son." Amen.
Amen.
So, listen, brothers, and thank you, Pastor, for bringing Romans 8 to support that. You have to be led by the Spirit of God. And you have to be led by the Spirit of God. You have to be born again by the Spirit of God, which happens to be the Word of God.
Yeah.
You know, make a mistake, brothers and sisters. God is putting the dots together, and it's all going to come right to one thing, and that's his Word. And if it's not in that Word, Don't try to. I heard a preacher say, I know it was yesterday, but I heard a preacher say, you know, you just should feel it. No, that's not true. Nowhere in the Bible to support that. What you have to know, the word, you're agreeing with the word of God. The word of God don't have to agree with us. Let me say that one more time. Because, see, I think some people got twisted because we start thinking this way and that way. The word of God don't have to agree with us. We have to agree with the word of God.
Right. Yes, we do.
Yes.
See, that's what's wrong with the world now. Parents agreeing with their children. That's not the way it's supposed to be. You don't have to agree. Mm-hmm. I'm not telling you disagree or agree. I'm saying when it comes to leadership, when it comes to responsibility, your child should be taking notes from you, not you from them.
Mm-hmm. All right.
And I think God have established himself in such a way that we know we can trust.
Thank you, Lord.
I can trust him. I mean, you trust him as well. Anyone else? I know we ran over a little bit today. Anyone else? Press one. Hallelujah. If not, hey, you have something to say?
No, I just say God bless, and I thank Sister Williams for helping us read.